This week on the Ocean Cruisers podcast, I'm having a chat with Elena and Ben. They're a German couple I met whilst refitting my boat in the yard in Greece. You can find them on Instagram under Elena and Ben. You can also check out some vlogging videos that they've just posted on YouTube. And if you want to check out a tour of their boat, head on over to our YouTube page and enjoy the chat. So, firstly, you were born ready. Right, firstly, I want to start off by introducing Christopher, who's over here.
Woo!
We've got, like, loads of cameras everywhere, but he's none of them.
Mate, come over here, introduce yourself. Look at this handsome face, this Geordie boy over here.
Hey-o.
You can look at all of them, that one.
Yeah, that's me that on the telly, there as well.
Profile shot there. Actually, that's a good profile shot.
In this particular production, I am the producer, is that correct?
You are producer, Chris.
So no stress on me.
You're producing stuff.
Great.
I'll drop into you for commentary here and there. I'll ask you a question.
Good lad.
Right, so, Elena and Ben, welcome to the Starship, sailing vessel Voyager.
Good to be here.
Right, let's start off with introduce yourselves. What are you guys, I know what you guys are about, but introduce yourselves.
Andy.
We are Elena.
Elena and Ben.
Elena and Ben. And we live on a catamaran on a Lagoon 380. We've lived on the cat for 3 years.
Nice.
And we never want to go back to, the land.
Why would you?
Yeah, exactly. Why would you? That's the best life on the water.
Mm-hmm.
So, we bought the Lagoon 380 3 years ago and we're slowly turning it into
a jungle.
The jungle boat.
Actually, it's worth saying at this point, anybody who is listening can go to YouTube and watch your boat tour that we did. We did a tour of your boat.
Yeah.
So they can understand it's a jungle boat. And they can understand what I mean by that.
It's full of plants and flowers and
dream catchers.
Yeah. It looks different. Elena loves plants and flowers, right? So wherever we go, we need to have another palm tree and another. What's your favorite plant?
Yeah, we bought a 2 meter palm tree now, so it's
by the mast.
Yeah.
Why don't you just turn your mast into a wooden mast? Like, wouldn't that just make a lot of palm tree mast?
We thought of it.
I think that would make a lot of sense. That would be a good one. Right. Okay. So actually, let's just talk about Ben first, because Ben has done quite a lot of cruising. He's a pretty experienced skipper, and he's been a few places. He's cruised around the world on a monohull before he went to the dark side and bought a catamaran. So that's what I'm talking about. So explain your journey. When did you start sailing and when did you start cruising around?
It was the year 2010. I studied in Australia. I studied audio engineering, by the way, so I could have helped here with all the techniques.
You should have helped here.
The microphone
was there. Didn't say
anything. What's that there? Is it a fly? No, it's a microphone.
So I studied in Australia, and when my studies were done, I wanted to fly back to Germany, obviously, but I missed the flight, so I was really pissed off, and went to the beach, and I saw a sailing boat sailing by on the horizon. I saw this white sailing boat, and I thought to myself, Jesus, why don't I get a sailing boat instead of buying a new plane ticket? I just buy a cheap sailing boat and sail back to Germany. I had no clue how to sail back then. Had been on a boat 3 times in my life. I went back home and looked for boats on eBay. And in the beginning, I looked for boats for like €3,000. And I was like, is this boat capable of going back to Germany? And then I found the boat that we sailed to Germany with. It was a Rawson 30 from 1976. It's the cheapest boat that we could afford at that time.
That was the one that you could buy.
Exactly. It was like after lots of research, we found this boat. It was €11,000.
Nice.
Cost.
That's actually super cheap for Australia because boats are crazy expensive over there.
Yeah, we didn't buy it in Australia. You're right. Okay. All the boats were like 20,000 or 24,000 Australian dollars. Mm. So we found this boat on the Solomon Islands in Honiara. The place where the boat was sold. So we flew to Honiara, bought the boat, and so the first trip, the maiden voyage, we had never been on a boat before. The maiden voyage was from Honiara to Papua New Guinea. It was 850 miles, and we had no clue how to sail. The plan before that was to always sail close to shore, so in case something happens, we just, you know, swim to shore. Didn't have a life raft, didn't have anything.
What happened to the plan? You had such a good, safe plan.
Yeah, we had a safe plan. In fact, there is a way all the way from Australia, all the way back to Germany, when you always close to shore, so close to India, and then you go through the Suez Canal and stuff. Well, the plan failed when we bought the boat in Honiara, on the Solomon Islands. There's no land in sight for, you know, weeks, and this is how we learned how to sail. I lost 5 kgs in these 3 weeks. It was supposed to be 10 days. It was 850 miles. We had no clue how fast a 30-foot boat could actually go. So it took us 3 weeks, and our parents almost died because we didn't, you know, we told them, we call you next week, you know, we'll be there, we'll be in Papua New Guinea in a week. Oh, and 3 weeks later, we arrived. And we slowly started how to learn how to sail. And
On that trip.
And the idea was to go back to Germany in 9 months. Mm. It took us almost 5 years.
We failed.
Yeah, we failed again. But yeah, I mean, before that, I didn't have a clue if I liked boats or, I mean, I just had this idea, you know, it was a quick idea, a spontaneous idea, and I slowly fell in love with boats and got into it, and I had no idea about engines, so we had to fix everything on the boat, and that was the first time. It was a good thing to do, and learning everything, and learning how to fix a boat with a rope and duct tape, you know, that's what you actually learn on a... On a sailing trip around
on
the world.
$10,000 boat from the Solomon Islands. That's crazy. So your first sailing trip was an 800-mile passage across an ocean.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah, and the idea was, because I'm an audio engineer, so...
That helped you with
the passage. It helped a little bit, so we listened to the music. In fact, we had a self-steering system, but, I mean, we had no clue how it worked, and it was broken anyway, so we had to steer. All these miles, 850 miles by hand. And so at night, we put on headphones and listened to Limp Bizkit. I remember Limp Bizkit, you know, all this hard rock music. And then sailed through the night. And that was the idea. And so I did it with a friend, Hannes, who I had met at uni in my studies. He also had no clue how to sail, so we were both newbies. And the idea was to sail to all these countries, so in fact we sailed to 31 countries and recorded local musicians everywhere in every single country.
Yep.
And recorded a music album on the way. That was the idea, that was the plan, and
That you didn't fail, you actually
succeeded.
Right, okay, talk a little bit more about this, because I was telling Chris before about this project, and you basically produced music as you were travelling around the world with different musicians all over the world. And it's actually fantastic music. It's brilliant. It's great, mate. So, have you listened to it yet?
No, you haven't even given me the information as yet, mate.
My apologies.
He's told me all about it, though. And I was super, because I play a little bit of an instrument, and I was like, that is amazing.
Cool.
Great idea.
The idea was that all these musicians, they play together. So, for example, we just... The first song we started in Australia or in Honiara, we recorded a musician. He played his own song. We never covered. We always an original song. Sailed to the next country, Thailand, found a drummer. He could put on headphones, listen to the song from Australia or whatever. And even we had the mobile recording studio in the backpack, so we had the microphones and the camera with us, and so we could look at the video from the musician from the country before, listen to the guitar, and then he played some drums. Then we continued, sailed to India, and then we found the violin player. Mm. So again, he could listen to the song on his headphones, and slowly the song proceeded and progressed. And in the end, we had like a song with 20 different musicians from 20 different countries. And they all played music with each other without ever having seen each other. And it turned out really well. And you can feel the power and the energy of the musicians playing together. And that was succeeded, I guess.
Yeah, that was a massive success. Right, actually, let's just say at this point, like, where can people actually listen to that?
I guess on YouTube you can listen to it. We recorded the album. So the project was called Sailing Conductors. So we're the conductors, and sometimes we played ourselves, but mostly we conducted the people and we told them, you know, about the story, and everyone was so into it. Everyone understood. That's very interesting, by the way, that people, sometimes we didn't even understand the language. I mean, we met musicians in India and we had no idea how to communicate because they, I mean, their English was really bad. And but through the music, so we showed them a song and all of a sudden their eyes opened and they were like, listened to the music on their headphones and then they started playing and so we could communicate via the music, which was really interesting for us to see.
That's amazing. How wild is that?
It's absolutely fantastic.
It's crazy, isn't it? That's like so good.
It is a composer's dream. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful.
From all over the world. Is that? Has anybody ever tried that before? Like, just generally... do you know what I mean? Like,
I think there's a project called Playing for Change. You probably know of Playing for Change. But it's covers. It's cover songs. So there's
That's covers. That sounds like me busking.
Yeah. Yeah. So we didn't know about that project before, but I don't know. It's
when did you get the idea to do this? Like, when did you decide you want to do this? Is this before you left the dock and you started sailing?
I think it came at the same time.
And yeah.
So when we bought the boat, I called all my friends and I asked them, "Do you want to? Hey guys, I just bought a sailboat. I don't know how to sail, but do you guys want to come with me?" And everyone said, Are you crazy? I'm not coming. No one wanted to come.
So there was one guy.
Except the one guy. There was always one guy.
Yeah.
So the one guy came with me. And yeah, I think the idea was there right away because we were audio engineers. So we wanted to do something. We wanted to have this project. Just sailing is also nice, but you need something to do. So and also it opens a completely new world. I mean, when you, as a traveler, you're always welcome. When you feel like a traveler and you don't behave like a tourist, then you're always, everyone welcomes you with open arms. But when you have the music, it was because we're also always looking for musicians everywhere, obviously. So we had long beards at the time. So the idea was to, because we wanted to sail for 9 months, so we wanted to grow our beards for 9 months and grow our hair for 9 months. So we look very strange, you know, pirates. So that when we arrived in our boxer shorts, you know, paddled to shore, you know, after weeks of sailing to the next country, and the people coming towards us, and they're like, "What are you guys doing?" Like, "Yeah, we came here to record music. Do you know anybody?" You know, it's like, "Oh, wow, brilliant. Really? I know. I have an aunt who plays guitar. I have an uncle who plays this and that." And then the next day, we had an appointment with these people, had a dinner, had a great time, and recorded music. So it was so easy to find all these local musicians everywhere, and. We never felt like strangers. We never felt like tourists. We were always locals because we're like the second day we had arrived in this country, we were, you know, part of a family, and that was really opened a great door for us. Yeah.
That's amazing, man. That's so cool. This is why we should make music. Mm. We did kind of. I mean, we put it on the internet for 24 hours, I think. It stays on for 24 hours.
I wanted to get some guitars. I mean, we have.
I wanted to bring the guitar tonight.
I wanted you to bring the guitar, actually.
I don't know. Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. We wanted to bring it. I don't know.
You should have come to our boat. We have a piano, we have two guitars, a ukulele, drum kit, grand piano, harp.
A drum kit?
No.
But you can make a drum kit if you've got some pots and pans.
Easy.
We have a saxophone.
You have a saxophone. Mm-hmm. You play saxophone. Mm-hmm. You play saxophone.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you should have brought it.
Yeah.
That would have been brilliant. next time, we'll do another one. We'll make an album. Do you want to do it again? Do you want to do more of this? Because the one that you made that I saw, the one on YouTube, like, it's fantastic. Because like I play guitar and drums and I gig and stuff, so I appreciate it so much, and it. Just it fits in so well with like the cruising life and meeting new people. Like, you should keep on doing it. Do an album. Let's do one now. Do you not want to do more?
More music?
Yeah.
I mean, music is always, also for Elena, when I met Elena and we continued the journey. I mean, after we sailed back to Germany for 5 years and then,
You succeed finally.
And then I met Elena, and she had also never been on a boat before.
Mm.
So we met on a boat. So I decided to do charter trips. after we had been back to Germany, I decided to do charter trips to make some money. And on the first trip, I remember it was on a Jeannot 53 or something, maybe like your boat, similar size. And I had never sailed a bigger boat than my 30-foot, you know, boat, which is very old, very, I mean, it's very specific, it's very...
You know how
I know, I'm sailing, but I had never been on a bigger boat. So all of a sudden, I did this charter trip with 12 people. I was the skipper for, you know, on this 53-foot boat. And I was very nervous. This is where I met Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In Mallorca.
Were you impressed with his skippering skills, or was it not quite...
Yeah, well, after 4 days, I asked him, what is your job on this boat?
Because I had no clue. You just keep on staring at me. It's so strange. What are you doing? Do you work here? Why are you sniffing my hair all the time?
Bring me another cocktail.
Oh, the responsibility of the skipper.
You're the cocktail boy.
So you met on charter.
Yeah.
Met on charter. And yeah. I saw her. I mean, I didn't stare at her the whole time, I guess. But when I looked at you, Eleanor was always sitting at the, in the back of the boat, staring at the horizon with a big smile on her face. And yeah, all the time. And so,
did you ever wonder what was out there, or
it was just the first time on a boat for me?
And that was your first time on a boat.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
And I've never sailed before, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so fucking amazing! And I just fell in love with the boats, and yeah, some weeks later with you.
That's amazing.
First for the boats.
That's
yeah,
so cool.
Ed and I had a van at that time, so your plan was actually, you had just sold everything, you had given away all the things that you possessed at that time.
Yeah, I wanted to travel the world, and then I came to the boat and said, fuck, this is so much better than a van.
Than a van. Yeah, I agree with that.
And I said, okay.
It's got a toilet. Yeah. So much better. Upgrade.
I don't need to put soil in the toilet. This is so nice.
Yeah, it was really great, and I you gave me like 50% for the next journey.
Gave you a discount.
Yeah,
didn't
you?
Oh, special treatment.
Yeah,
50%. Shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, you should have done it for free, man. Yeah,
So that was your first time on a boat.
Yeah.
And then were you completely sold at that point? Were you like, I want to live on the water, I want to travel around the world, or was it just a nice holiday for you? Like, what were you feeling?
Yeah, it. At the beginning, it was just a holiday, and I decided to keep on traveling with a van and sometimes with a boat. And then we know each other better, and then the winter came, and we said, okay,
we wanted to drive to Portugal together in her van. That was the idea. So it's getting cold now, it's October, let's make a plan, let's go south, and let's take the van.
Because I worked online also, and you had the charter, so it was easy for us to just leave Germany.
Mm-hmm. And my boat was in France at that time, in Brittany. And for some reason, we met our friend, Jan, and we visited him on his boat. And he said, why do you go to Portugal in a van? You have a boat. Why don't you sail there?
Well, the boat was rented by Airbnb at that time.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, that was really cool for you because,
extra bucks. You know,
so did you keep it in a marina and then people could pay?
Exactly.
That's quite nice, actually.
Because I didn't use the boat at that time, really.
Yeah.
And when our friend Jan asked us why we wouldn't go to Portugal on a boat, we were both like, yeah, why not? Why not?
We haven't thought of it. Yeah, it's so much better. Yeah.
Well, and then a week later, we were sailing down south. You know, we set sails and left the van in Brittany, left the van in France, and started the trip.
Yeah, and the first sailing trip for me, the real sailing trip, was crossing the Biscay. In October, November.
That was your first sailing trip. So you just do this. Your first sailing trips are genuinely big ones.
Yeah, it was like a 4 days trip. And when we came to A Coruña, to Spain, north of Spain, I said, okay, yes, I love sailing. And he said, okay, it was a good...
That's actually quite crazy that like your first sailing trip was a pretty heavy passage. I mean, crossing Biscay is not like an easy thing. Depends on the time of year. And you were sold after that. That you want to live on a boat.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it the man or was it the boat? It was the boat. Oh,
that is not the boat. Yeah, well, we came. So we traveled all the way, and we came to South Portugal in February. All right.
Yeah, February.
And then Corona came, so we needed to stop, and we had the lockdown 2 months on the boat.
We had just arrived.
Arrived.
And then everything shut down, and so we had to spend 3 months. In quarantine on the boat, on a 30-foot boat in the Algarve.
Yeah, just the two of us.
In a marina?
No, on anchor.
On
anchor.
It was tough times. I know a lot of people have got caught out with that stuff.
It wasn't tough at all.
But you came from a van, so you had more space.
Yeah, I was so impressed. A proper bathroom, you know? In the kitchen, and
It was small, and this is when we figured out that this is again what we wanted to do for long term. And so we spent these 3 months on our boat on anchor in quarantine, and there was this 48 foot.
For me, the boat became every day it became bigger because it was my first time on the boat, but you already had the boat for 10 years. So Benny had the boat for 10 years and you thought about having a bigger boat or changing or having a new project. So we were
looking for a bigger boat. We talked about it, but we're looking for a 38, 40 foot mono. And then there was this 48 foot catamaran for sale right next to us. And so every single day we were sitting in the cockpit looking at this 48-foot catamaran right next to us, and for some reason we fell in love with the catamaran, but we had never been on a catamaran before. So it's like, wow, this is huge space. This is massive. So how is it to live on a boat like that? So it was in a very bad condition, this catamaran. So we were looking into buying it, and then we had a look inside the catamaran, and then we knew, okay, this is not the boat that we want to buy, because it was completely smashed. But then the next day we went on Google, and we found, in fact, the cheapest boat again, the cheapest catamaran that you could find at the time was the Lagoon 380. So we found our boats. We were looking for boats. And then when the borders opened again, when Corona was over. Not over yet.
The first time it was over.
The first time it was over. I think it was the 1st of June 2000.
Mm. Yeah, it was that summer, wasn't it? Like, they opened some stuff.
They opened the borders.
But just for business trips. They opened the border first for business trips.
So we were the first people... Yeah. In Italy, we went to Italy to look at a few boats.
Nice.
And people looked at us very strangely because they hadn't seen Germans in a long time, foreigners in a long time. It's like, what are these people doing here?
We drove with our van, so it was a German license. I don't know.
License plate.
So yeah, the people just was staring at us like.
Strangers.
Aliens.
Yeah, we're not used to new people.
Who are these people? Yeah. What are they doing here?
Yeah. How did you end up living in a van? Because it's not, it's a bit alternative, isn't it? Like, did you always want to go travelling, or were you interested in small spaces? Like, how did you get into that?
So, I went with my dad. I travelled to Ibiza when I was 12.
Yeah.
And then I just fell in love with all the vibes and all the hippies and the hippie market there, and they lived in the van, and I got really impressed by all the freedom. So it was always my dream to travel the world by a van, but I've never the life changed and I studied, and I met people, and they don't wanted to travel the same style like me. So I said, okay, I will do it.
You do it by yourself.
By myself, and
that's ballsy.
And I just quit everything. I didn't felt that good in this moment, so I studied 2 years then in in Cologne. Mm-hmm. I studied to be a teacher. And yeah, well, I decided, or I felt that it's not the way I want to live my whole life
yeah.
in this city, with this job, with these people, and with all the stuff I had. Like, I had a super big apartment with like a 30 square meters wardrobe, and it was, I had such, so many things. I had so many things, and I don't know, I traveled every month. I traveled like three times to mm-hmm. three different cities or countries, and every time when I came back, I felt super uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
In my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, okay, I need to change something, but I don't know what. And yeah, then I don't know, I just quit everything and just packed my backpack for 4 weeks, and I said, okay, let's see where we get. And I traveled to all my friends. Like, I did it like a sofa hopping.
So you just quit your job?
Yeah, well, it was everything. Yeah. And I just sold everything.
Yeah.
And then I just had the backpack, and I said, okay, I don't know where to move, because I always thought I will live in Spain or maybe in Italy. But at that time, I don't know. I felt like I'm not ready yet to decide where to live,
mm-hmm.
but I really need something more than just my backpack and the sofa for my friend. So I said, okay, let's do the plan with the van. And it was a super cheap van. I bought it for 4,000 euros.
Okay.
It was a small one. And also because I sold all my stuff, I had some money left. And yeah.
So when did you decide like you wanted to buy a van and then like drive everywhere?
What do you mean with when?
So you were like sofa hopping and you were figuring out what you wanted to do and you were traveling and stuff. At what point did you decide like, okay, I want to live in a van and I want to go places?
No, it wasn't the decision to buy a van. I just needed like a base,
right.
Because I felt a bit lost,
mm-hmm.
and I knew that I need something. But I'm not able to say now, fix, okay, I want to live here or in an apartment. I couldn't make this decision yet.
So it's like a transition. Yeah, it was just,
okay, I will buy a van for maybe the next summer.
Yeah.
And then let's see what happened. And I will travel the whole Europe till I find my place, till I find my happy place. So that was the first idea, I guess. So, yeah.
That's brilliant.
And then I found the boat.
Yeah, I was going to say, so how long were you doing that before?
Oh, not long. No, yeah. Because it was the same time when we know each other better and doing the sailing trips. And, yeah, well, the first time on a boat, I said, okay, I really need a boat.
Yeah,
and everyone needs a boat.
Yeah.
Not too many people.
The boat is so... Yeah, I really thought that maybe I can figure it out how to sail and how to fix things, but I knew that's not that easy because I had no idea how to sail and also how to fix the engine or something. It's so totally different to a van, because if something is wrong with a van, okay, you always have people around to
go to a garage and fix it, can
help you. But if you are in the middle of the ocean, there's no help directly. So yeah, I was a bit scared, but then I met you and you had the boat.
Lucky you. All problems solved.
Yeah.
So I just searched for a captain. That was the point.
Just a Google search. I found a captain with a boat, please.
Yeah.
So you met on the charter, then you moved on to your boat for a little while, the one that you already had.
Yeah.
And you started looking for some catamarans to live on. What was the plan at that point? Like, were you thinking of just sailing around the world or sailing around the Med?
I think the idea was with the catamaran was to do charter trips again. So we had a catamaran has enough space for 8 people, 12 people, and so we did charter trips for
2 years.
2 years.
Nice.
And
that was like during COVID as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you have to like disinfect everything?
Yeah, we did everything perfectly. Yeah. Like the regular, we obeyed to the regulations and the rules and everything. So
just easy. Coughing as you.
Yeah. 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 It was actually quite easy for us in the end because we have this Instagram channel because Elena started doing Instagram 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it started growing and growing. And in the end, before we decided to concentrate on Instagram or on our adventure, we were booked out right away because many people wanted to come and join the Ohana. The boat is called Ohana.
And that was just for Instagram?
The what?
No, the bookings that you were getting, they were for Instagram.
A lot of people came from Instagram and they wanted
almost
to...
Everybody.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
So it was in the end it was getting too much. So we really enjoyed the charter trips with the people and did a lot of trips.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was two jobs at the same time. It was the charter trips and Instagram. Instagram is always you know with the podcast is always a bit of work.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end we decided to give it a try with just Instagram and leave the charter trips to other people. And yeah, that's when we started to completely renovate the boat. And before we had, it was Ohana, so our boat is a charter, well, ex-charter catamaran. So we had four cabins. Now we have only one where we sleep. All the other cabins are...
Storage cabins.
Kind of.
Slowly turning into something different.
Yeah.
So, and we put in, we tried to really, that's the main thing really with our boat. We tried to live as sustainable as possible and we started to put on install a lot of solar panels and lithium batteries and we got the water maker and you know we started step by step that was the first thing, the wooden stove. We have a wooden stove on the boat.
My favorite part of the boat. Always
most important part of the boat.
I always dreamed of a wooden stove in my van or in a flat, and then I said to Benny, okay, we really need a wooden stove on the boat. He said, no, you're crazy. We will never.
This is what most captains would say.
Yeah.
If they met a girl, I want to do a fire on this boat. Probably.
No, never. And for 2 months, he said, never. And then we went to, I don't know, it was a market.
Hardware store,
and they said, oh, look, Benny, that's so cute, that's so small. We can have one on the boat, right? He said, oh, yeah, that's brilliant. That's such a good idea. And we bought a wooden stove directly. I don't know what happened, because 2 months
before
you decided no.
It's called giving in.
it's called influencing.
Maybe, yeah. Probably. Yeah, maybe. That's,
yeah. Yeah, because I like every week I came up with some pictures of a wooden stove in a van. Like,
look, it's so nice. It's so nice. Yeah.
And now you love it.
Yeah. Now, what's the first thing that we did to that we installed on our brand new boat? Well, it was the 13-year-old charter boat, charter catamaran. But we had just got it, and the first thing was we drilled a 30-centimeter hole in the ceiling for the chimney.
Yeah.
And then we knew, okay, this is our boat now, and it will never be a normal charter catamaran again. Which is good sometimes, because whenever you when you have a boat or a car or a van or whatever, then you always think of the resale sell price. You don't want to change too much, because maybe you want to sell it in 2 years and you want to make you want to sell it for the best price possible. But when we installed the oven, the fireplace, this was our boat, and we knew right then that we will have this boat for a very long time, and we'll make it ours. We'll do everything we want, and we'll change it completely. Mm-hmm. We'll not leave the things like they are. It doesn't matter. And if we do a bad job, sometimes we failed. I mean, obviously we it's like trial and error. Sometimes we did stupid things, and it looks horrible. But then we did it, and it's ours, and this made the boat ours. Yeah.
Well, it's your art as well, isn't it? Like, it's your creativity and stuff. Just so explain, because you told me before, the meaning behind the graffiti art that you've had painted on your boat. So that was, you said it was from when you went to the Canary Islands, and you wanted like something to do with the Canary Islands painted on your boat.
With the colors of the...
With the colors.
Yeah, because we decided to paint the boat with graffiti, but we hadn't decided then the color, because we thought about something maybe blue, but it could be too colorful. And then we sailed from Portugal to the Canary Islands, and when we came there, we thought about the designing. We stayed in La Graciosa, and we could have you could have seen the blue water, and then the how it's called?
I think
the volcanic anchorage.
So you were looking out from the anchorage to the other island.
Exactly.
And you can see like the island the beige from the sand and the brown from the vulcan. It was so amazing, the brown and the beige.
Very, very unique, very beautiful colors.
It's like a foreign planet type of
thing. Exactly. It's like the moon.
It's very nice.
And we saw it and we said like, okay, that's it. And we took a picture and we said, okay, these are the colors that we want on the boat, because it was just a perfect fit. And
so we asked around on Instagram, is anybody willing to paint our boat? You know, this is the colors and we need a graffiti artist. And there were lots of people answering and sending us their ideas. And then we chose Sebastian. His name is Sebastian, from Germany also. And so he became a really good friend. And then a few months later, he came to Portugal. We were back in Portugal at the time, and took the boat out of the water, and for a week he started spraying. He didn't really, we had no clue what he was really spraying. I mean,
he's
a graffiti artist, and his paintings are super colorful and something special. And I said to him, okay, I want this kind of stuff, like a dream catcher with feathers or something like that. And he said, okay, I don't know if I can do it for you, because I don't see it. And then he saw a video which I grabbed from the boat with all the Canary Islands in the background. And it was a dream catcher moving in the wind. And he saw the video and he made a screenshot. And this screenshot he put on the boat. And it was perfect.
No way.
It was so cool. Yeah, he was really, really cool.
Yeah, we still love it, and it's been like 2 years.
And it's like all the waves from the feathers, and that's
it looks incredible.
From our dream catcher.
Is it the same on both sides?
No, it's different. There's a compass on the other side. So on the one side of the on starboard, there's the dream catcher turning into some wavy. Feathers. And on the other side there's the compass, which is also really cool, which you know, we go in every direction. We go north, east, south, west, we don't know when but this is the idea. So the goal for us is to go to Hawaii one day. So when we met on this charter trip, the first charter trip, so we started talking, and then for some reason we figured out that both of our dreams was to go to Hawaii one day. So where would you like to go one day? Travel one day. Hawaii. Really? Me too. So we figured out that we both want to go to Hawaii. And this is our final plan. So one day we want to go to Hawaii with the boat.
This is called why the boat is...
Ohana.
Ohana.
Did we figure out what that means? Like, we were confused about that.
It's a family.
Family?
Yeah, it means family.
We didn't know what Hawaiians spoke.
Hawaiianese? Hawaiian?
I think it's just Hawaiian.
Hawaiian.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Hawaiian. It's your language.
Yeah,
you don't need to know it.
Hawaiian. I think it's just Hawaiian. I think some people message me about that one, actually.
Dude, it's Hawaiian.
It was not so difficult in
fact.
Hawaiianese. I don't know.
I don't speak Hawaiian.
Hawaiianish.
Okay.
It's Hawaiianish.
In German.
In German, it's Hawaiian.
Okay. Hawaiian. Right, so that was way basically one to end up. Actually, it'd be cool to talk about what you've done so far with the boat, but in terms of cruising, because you've actually done some heavy miles in it. Like, you've taken it across the Meds, Yeah, so, well, you're here now, but then you've been down to the Canaries, and then you brought it all the way into the Med. You did some seasons in the Balearics as well. So, yeah, like, where have you taken it?
Almost 10,000 miles, huh?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot. Yeah,
we did, like, a lot of...
Backwards and forwards. Oh, with the chargers.
Yeah, also with the chargers. Right. So that's why we decided, okay, we are not doing back and forward again.
Yeah,
so we just want to go...
Westwards.
West. I don't know in English.
I'm like, right is east. And I got it right that time, but sometimes I don't. So, yeah. I don't know. Something in my brain doesn't work with that one.
So, yeah, we wanna see lots of places still. And now we're here in Greece. And the good thing is that plans always change. Isn't there a saying, when you sail, never stick to a plan? I think this is probably the most important thing that you have to remember when you sail, because there's so many directions and so many beautiful places, and you shouldn't rush. When people want to do like a circumnavigation and they have 3 years to go around the globe, I mean, I've done it. I thought it would take 9 months. It took 5 years, and I, you know, almost went around the globe.
We're always in a rush.
And I was always in a rush, exactly. So I guess if you want to go around the globe, then take 20 years. You know, at least 10. At least 10.
Yeah.
But there's so many beautiful places everywhere, and you don't have to go to the Caribbean, because Greece, the Greek islands, are as beautiful as all these islands everywhere in the world. And it's all about the people. The people is what really matters, you know, mm-hmm. when you meet the people. So get in touch, get connected to the locals and to the people around you. And this is what makes the place and everything really important
And you meet so many people, and they have other plans, and they inspire you with some other countries or plans, and that's what it, it's worth the
part of the journey, the change. Isn't it, really?
Meeting
the people along the way, and, like, developing and stuff, yeah. So, right, I mean, I know you don't have, like, an exact plan other than to get to Hawaii. And obviously plans change, and you literally just said, don't make a plan. How do you ideally see this situation panning out? Like, have you got a rough idea? Because you want to get there, so you have to think about how you're going to get there.
Yeah, we have a little plan.
You have a little plan.
So for the...
like a 30-year plan.
For the Atlantic crossing.
30 years?
No! No, we want to do... So now we want to sail, like, a little bit... here in Greece again, and then we're going just all the way back to the Atlantic.
Okay.
Take the boat out in Portugal, making her good for the Atlantic crossing, and then do like the others, Madeira, Canaries, Cape Verde, and then... So we want to do the Atlantic crossing next
season.
Year.
I was going to say, yeah, because otherwise that would be a heavy season.
We will not make it this year. Because we want to cross the Atlantic in December.
Yeah.
And for now, it's not possible. Mm-hmm. Because the boat work, it will take time also. So, yeah. It's like we have a 12-month plan. Or maybe like 14. And doing the Atlantic crossing.
End of next year.
In December.
Right. Nice.
And then once we are there... I don't know, everything is new, and just let's see. I really want to sail to the Bahamas.
It's pretty, isn't it?
Though? I don't know, I've never been there.
Never been to the Bahamas?
It's
very white sand.
Yeah.
And pigs as well.
Yeah,
I didn't go
pigs.
To Pig Island, but
pigs.
Yeah. Little cute pigs.
Cute.
You just want to see the pigs?
Yeah, I just want to swim with
the
pigs.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll sail there. Eventually.
Well, what do you want to do after Hawaii? Because, like, really, I mean, it's not like the end point, is it? It's obviously halfway across the journey. I can't imagine you stopping.
No.
Because this is what you do.
So so we think a lot about life on the water and our friends and families in houses and apartments and on land, landlubbers. And really, we cannot imagine living, like what I said before, we cannot imagine going back to the land. Mm. For us, it doesn't make sense at all. So we're not in a rush. We have all the time in the world. And wherever we spend it doesn't really matter. And Hawaii is just It's just a dream, and yeah. Maybe it will always be a dream. Maybe we'll never get there.
Ah.
We will.
You've got a plan.
But it's not
important when we get there.
Yeah.
You know, if it's in 30 years, you know, hopefully in 30
if you
years.
Just
because
are on the water.
I want to see everything before that.
Boats.
Yeah.
We just love boats. Boats.
I just think you need to make a plan to make music as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe. I think you need to go for a full album.
I think you have to.
I think I have to.
I know why you mentioned it all the time.
Yeah. Just going to keep on dropping that one in vocals, please. Yeah. We'll do something. All right, listen, that's a hell of a journey so far, and I think it's going to carry on being a hell of a journey for a while. And cheers to that. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. It's
been a pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy.
Cool.
It's been a great time. Hanging out with you, by the way. You know, we've hung out for a couple of months.
A few months.
By now. Jeez.
Yeah, we live here in Killara now.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It's our home.
I come to you for advice on this place. Where do I go?
We've had so lucky to finally sail again after 6 months.
Mm.
And I said yesterday, or the day before yesterday, I said to him, like, we're not going back to Killara. And he needs to come to our boat because I don't want to go to Glad again.
I'm not going back to that place that I love so much.
We just left.
We know it very well after 6 months. So
we really love it.
Good. The kebab is good.
Yeah,
the people are nice.
We really love this place. But we will come back, but not that...
In 30 years.
In 30 years. I'll just have a bicycle,
2 days.
Probably. Then you can have drinks on a boat on the hard. Yeah. People who meet feeding cats. Yeah. Right, let's just mention where people can find you, your information, your Instagram, and then your YouTube, and your podcast, because you've started a podcast as well.
Because
thanks
of you.
Thanks to you, my friend.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got us into this. So, yeah, Elena und Ben.
Und, this is German.
Und is the German word for and, obviously. Mm-hmm. And
It's Elena and Ben.
And you can find us everywhere under Elena und Ben. The way you say it.
Yeah.
You say it?
Elena und Ben. That's perfect German.
Yeah, that's perfect. True. We are on every platform now.
Every platform. Oh, yeah. No,
I recently started Pinterest, you know.
Pinterest.
Yeah.
Is that still around?
It came back. It's now really popular.
Is it?
Yeah. You should start Pinterest.
My wedding dresses and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, they do still.
You have a wedding dress? Do you?
Maybe I will one day. I don't know. No, I thought that's what that was. I just thought they started like these collages of like wedding dresses and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more to it. I mean, I'm summarizing.
More for girls, maybe. I don't know.
And for Andy, because he's looking for wedding dresses.
So what's going on with the Pinterest? What are you doing there?
I don't know, I just started. I have no clue what I'm doing, but I just posted random pictures
Elena
from the fashion.
Elena und Ben, everybody.
That's it. So if they just go onto Google and put Elena und Ben, everything's going to come.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you'll probably find us on other platforms too.
We know you.
Right, guys.
Yeah, fantastic.
Was great.
Cool.
Uzo's tasting good.
Awesome. Cheers.
Cheers.
I've already finished mine.
Oh, wow.
I don't sip these things, I just make them. That was
cheers,
awesome.
Man.
Cool. That's groovy. I love it.